Hey everyone, today's podcast is with Mary McKeown Christie, and we speak anything and everything about marketing, how to get started in marketing, how to get in touch with it, how to keep in touch with it, and how to develop the next big thing with the power of it, and generally anything marketing, honestly guys. It was a lot of stuff, so I'm just gonna leave you here, and I hope you're gonna take some notes, because I did, quite a lot. So, you have a great day. Thank you, Mary, for coming, and let's change the world.
Okay, Mary, I want to say a huge welcome to the Royal Entrepreneurs Podcast. We are super excited to have you here. But before we get into the good stuff, what is your story?
My story. Wow. Okay. So, I'm an old lady. I've been doing this a long time. That's why I say that. I'm from San Francisco. I was born and raised in San Francisco, California. And I accidentally wound up in Santa Barbara visiting my little sister. This is many years ago. Fell in love with it. It's a beautiful little beach town, mountains on the water. They call it the American Riviera. And the thing about Santa Barbara is they were very good about having or providing access to young people for education, meaning you could work full time, go to school at night at the local city college, and then transfer to the University of California system. And they had a campus there right on the beach. I don't know how anybody ever went into class. It was just gorgeous. But because of that, I got really involved in the community. I was working full time, mostly with engineering firms. They called it Santa Barbara Silicon Beach because the university focused a lot on engineering and technology. And then when people would graduate, they never wanted to leave. So you had a lot of startups that would establish there. And, you know, guys would be coming into work in their flip-flops and their board shorts with their surfboards and just, you know, cranking out the work and then going surfing. You know, it was a really great environment. So through that, through working full time and going to school there, I became involved in the community and I was asked to be involved in a nonprofit group that basically focused on managing the 4th of July holiday in Santa Barbara. The reason that's significant is because prior to that, I was focused on going into law and expected to go that route. And, fell into marketing basically. And so we had to create a community-minded nonprofit grassroots group to pull the community together to not, you know, create a mess on the holiday. And wound up at 24 years old, lobbying city council, getting the whole community behind us, completely changing the scope of that celebration of that day, which included a parade and a kids carnival and then fireworks on the ocean, and it's a really great day for everybody to come and enjoy. So that's kind of my legacy. But what happened was it really woke me up to the power of grassroots marketing, public relations. This is before social media. So the reason I say I'm old is because we had to do it old school. It was hard, you know, so we were focusing on radio and print advertising and editorials and creating awareness through older channels with great success. And then the relationship management and getting the board, you know, the local city council involved and getting them to back it, yada, yada, yada. So that prompted me to pursue marketing when I graduated University of California. And I worked for tech companies, one of which is the first medical robotics company ever, voice-controlled medical robotics. It's now Intuit, an Intuit system, Intuitive Surgical. And that was a great experience from bottom-up startup up. And then I kind of migrated to between smaller tech businesses to large, medium-sized, and really kind of found the niche that I was most effective in, which really is mid-cap, so that you can be effective quickly. You get a budget and you're able to affect change quickly. And then about 12 years ago, there was a huge recession in the United States, as I'm sure you're aware of. And that area is so expensive Oprah lives there. You know, she has a $50 million estate, and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle live down the street. You know, like, it's insanity, the kind of money that's there. And it's not for the average person. And to give you an idea, you know, you'd have to spend $100 or $1.5 million for a crappy little house. It's just crazy. So we, you know, my husband and I were just like, this is insanity. We're going to get out of here. He has family in Austin, Texas, which I never thought I'd wind up from California in Texas, because it's a very different environment down here. But Austin is this little oasis in the middle of this giant state, rolling green hills and water. People are very friendly and smart. University of Texas is right downtown. It's the capital of the state. And I learned that I need to be around an environment that is not stagnant, that being in the university town really makes a huge difference on your psyche, so that you have an undercurrent, a really great vibe of learning new things and pushing the envelope and not getting lazy. And that enabled me to really pursue digital marketing in a much greater capacity here in Austin for our huge range of clients. By the way, I had been working for a large company. And what happens in marketing is you do a really good job of laying out strategies and driving revenue and getting the numbers to where they want to be. And then inevitably, there's an acquisition or a merger. So if it's a publicly held company, it's usually a merger, sometimes an acquisition, but most of the time it's a merger. And that means that you become redundant. So the acquiring company gets precedent, and then you're out. And it's for no fault of your own. It's just the reality of business in the politics of it. And I got really tired of that because I did such a great job. That happened 3 times. And I was like, okay, yeah, enough of that. So once I got to Austin, soon after, that's exactly what happened. And they said, you know, do you want to move to Virginia? I said, no, thank you. I'm going to stay here in Texas and Austin. And I started my own consulting company. And it's a small boutique agency, but it enables me to focus on small to mid-cap corporations that need a strategic mind, that understand how to, somebody to kind of get in there, look at what's going on, figure out how to strip away all the clutter, create systematic programs that work with sales, because ultimately marketing's job is to support sales, but it's sales' job to close the deal. And the thing that happens in marketing oftentimes is you're judged on your results. Well, there's a slippery slope there, because if I've brought in the leads and the sales team isn't doing anything with them, that's on them. Sorry, but I mean, that's the bottom line here. So it is really important that there is a tight relationship with sales and marketing, and discussions with management on, hey, you know, these people, they're either doing a great job and we've got to fill in some other gaps here with the product or service. You know, we're getting the leads, but there's shortfalls in other areas, and or everything else is great, but your team is not paying attention and paying attention to their relationship. So that's where I've just kind of evolved to. And I'm really enjoying it. I love it.
What is, I guess, you know, since, you know, digital marketing as a whole is like changing so fast, you know, how can we approach this field nowadays, and how can we actually learn with everything changing so fast that, you know, maybe you know something for like now, but that's going to be outdated, let's say, a year from now. So
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, in the marketing technology space, there are upwards of 4,000 different applications floating around. It's insanity. It's one of my greatest frustrations, frankly. The way that I approach it is start with the basics, meaning, all right, what are we trying to do? So as an example, you have a website. You want people to go to that website, read about a product or service, and you want them to contact you for more information. How do you want that to happen? You want to be able to track it in a way. So you don't want them just sending a random email, right? So what we want to do is we want to drive them through a contact us form where we can qualify them. and ask them some questions. Because you also don't want to have your team spending a lot of time with people that are trying to sell you junk, or, you know, let you know about an application that they don't need or whatever, right? We're trying to collect qualified leads for the organization. Well, so the first question you ask is, okay, so what kind of a website are we dealing with? Is it an open source platform like WordPress, or is it custom HTML? Custom HTML is always nowadays frowned upon, but back in the day when it was first starting, it is kind of interesting to watch this whole evolution of technology in line with my profession. But back in the day, you know, you had programmers or HTML coders that were making $150,000, $200,000 per site because it was all custom code. And it was their code that nobody else could understand, which they built very intentionally. With the evolution of WordPress, which is open source, an open source platform, that pretty much changed the game. So there's a lot of opportunity for standardization and not having to lock yourself into one specific programmer, having other options for opportunities for plugins and technologies, et cetera. But you have to figure out as a marketer, what are we trying to do? Number one, we want to be able to communicate who we are and what we do and what our services are. We want to make the reader or allow the reader to understand why we're different and why they want to talk with us. And then when it comes time for the conversion, which is, okay, I would like to spend time with you to understand more, that data has to come from the website and it has to come into a database. And it has to come to a database so that you can track, number one, you've got a lead, and what's going on with it. So then that means a CRM, well, customer relationship management tool. Well, now if you look at that technology, so you see how it's kind of breaking down. So first is the website technology, second is the CRM technology. How big of an organization are you? Can you afford to have a full-time administrator to manage the back end of this thing? If you can't, then going along with a Salesforce CRM, which is a giant large enterprise design tool, where they have staff to manage the back end of this database full time, and usually it's multiple administrators. If you don't have that, you have to look at other options. And one of them that I love that you guys should look at is called Insightly, by the way. That's always been a challenge where you've got a small organization, small to mid-size, you've got to bring that lead in, and now you've got to start thinking about processes. Okay, so the lead comes in, they get assigned. How do they get assigned? To whom? They get notified. How quickly are they following up? What are they talking about when they're following up? So it's marketing's job to provide them with baseline templates or guidance on here's how you can follow up. Here's some tools that they might need in their sales process. So they're going to need a presentation to go over and walk people through things. They might need white papers. They might need videos. This really depends on what the product or service is to help support their job in educating the prospect. And then you're going to need communication tools. So now you're looking at communication tools. And again, you think about, okay, what kind of a budget do we have? How do we make this simple? Ideally, that CRM would integrate with the communication tool. MailChimp happens to be one of my favorites because it's clean and simple and fully integrates with a bazillion different tools. There's now API connector tools out there called Zapier that enable you to provide connections, which all of this used to be custom coding. So there's all these really great tools that are coming along, but you don't address them all at once because it's so overwhelming with 4,000 different tools out there, different software applications. You really just start with, what am I trying to do? What do I need to do? And then you start researching that area and figuring out, all right, based on what's happening, and the evolution, you're right. That's one of the reasons I like marketing, is it's changing all the time, but it's also very challenging to keep up with those changes. And then you have to think about, okay, that's great. Do I really need this right now? Nope. My clients don't need this right now. But if they do need this right now, I need to keep this on deck to keep an eye on it. I guess I just strip it away to baseline foundational approach. Keep it simple. Keeping it simple is very difficult. It's really easy to throw a bunch of things together and try to come up with a mishmash that overcomplicates things. And ultimately, it gets in the way and it prevents you from moving forward. Because by the way, you know, there are processes to the marketing wheel, getting the lead in, getting, then there's a whole series of things that have to happen in the sales process to manage the opportunity. Then there's the procurement side, because a lot of times the guys can be making, the guys or gals, I should say, sorry. I mean, guys in general, you know, they can get the prospects to agree, okay, yeah, we're going to spend $100,000 on your software or your widget or whatever it is. But then it goes to procurement and then contract negotiation. So there's all these other administrative levels that you have to think through with the, you know, the administrative team, this administrative management team. So that can screw up your sales cycle. So now what you thought was sold is delayed 90 days because it's going through a procurement review or a security review. There's all these things that can get in the way. And if you keep a simple system, it's a much smoother process. If you convolute, and not you, the marketer, but the management corporation in general, it can kill the company. It can literally prevent the sale from going through, prevent you from collecting on your receivables properly. There's all these system things. So it's really just starting with, you know, soup to nuts, beginning to end, what are we trying to do along the process? Okay, these are the tools we're going to look at that are affordable. And as the corporation evolves and starts driving more revenue, you can identify, okay, we need to bump this up a notch. We need to do something more sophisticated. We need to start, you know, good example, another good example is, okay, social media management. All right, well, you've got multiple channels that you have to manage, messaging, responding, advertising, yada, yada, yada. Well, you need an aggregator to do that. And that one of them that does a great job is Hootsuite. And I'm just throwing these tools out there that I know that I've used for many years that provide the baseline functionality. They're not over the top expensive. They give you the statistics and reporting that you need to understand your growth. They enable the right messaging. They're all baseline foundational stuff. You can, of course, once you get to larger enterprise, start growing those tools to much more sophisticated, but ultimately you're not getting that much more with it, because what you really need to do is say, okay, I started with 200 followers and now I'm up to 2,000 followers and I have this level of engagement on my posts. Now I've got this level of communication. Well, so what? What does that mean? Well, what it means is we want them to click through to the website and start converting. Is the phone ringing more? Are we getting more sales calls? Are we getting more sales appointments? That's the so what, instead of just like, oh, we're just going to be out on social. A lot of marketers will kind of make that mistake where they kind of forget that if I'm the salesperson, I don't care how much awareness you're creating, if you're not giving them an opportunity to come back to me to ask me more information, then the marketing's failed. It's fluff. It's just general PR spaghetti against the wall.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about Zapier, and I really like to bring it up. You know, do you think that we're going to a future of no code platforms? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, it's kind of like a double-edged sword for me, because I like coding. It's like, well, we won't need that much of it in the future. But in your opinion, do you think that tools like Zapier are going to go really mainstream, and, you know, not to kill the jobs of the software engineer, but like make no code the new norm?
I would say, I don't think that they are going to make a no code, you know, no code the new norm. I would say that foundational code is always going to be important, and evolutionary code of particularly moving in AI and other directions, you know, for automation. Or intelligence is going to be super important. And cybersecurity is a really big one to look at. But a tool like Zapier, really what they're doing is they're trying to say, hey, there's this code out there already. We know how to connect the baseline dots. This is what we can do on the basic level. If you need to do something more complicated, then you're going to need to get to that custom API code. But a lot of corporations, especially in the small to mid-cap area, they just need to connect a form to a CRM. It's not rocket science. I mean, if I can set up a Zapier, it might take me an hour to do it because it is a little complicated. It's not super straightforward. but it's a logic game, right? And if I can do that and save my company, I don't know, 20 grand, let's just say, that's a huge savings to the corporations. But they're still going to need other code. There's still all these other areas that they're going to need. So really, I think what it's doing is it's kind of standardizing baseline and saying, yeah, okay, yeah, of course, they need people like you to say, hey, go build these connectors so we have this huge library. That's number one. So that's never going to go away. And imagine you're trying to connect to 4,000 different other marketing technologies. Well, I think maybe right now they have 200 connectors in the system, you know, so there's a couple of years of work right there, right? But then, okay, we've got the basics now. Ooh, you guys want to do the fancy stuff like PII. So it's the personal information area of, hey, if there's documents floating around out there with social security numbers or, you know, passport numbers or really important personal information that should not be made public, we have to get code to get in there and redact it and block it out so it's not seen. It's only, so there's just more advanced levels of code that are coming based on how society is trying to navigate through this new world, really. It is, it's having a solid code foundation will enable you to graduate from high school, decide whether or not you even want to pursue college, and walk out the door and make a really solid, good salary right away. In fact, to fund yourself through college if you wanted to study something very specific or get a PhD in something, to really, really become an expert in something. Code, I mean, particularly here in Austin, it's a huge technology hub. It's, for me, super exciting to see a lot of these younger people like yourself say, you know, I get it. I want to affect change quickly. And it's a language. And they just get in there and they drive it. And they're turning around and walking out the door with six-figure salaries to develop for the rest of their lives. So imagine that, you know, you could spend 5 years in a space making really good money and really figuring out what part you love and saying, okay, I want to expand on that. And then maybe at that point, they decide to go to school or they don't need to, because the way that world is evolving, as long as they become an expert in that language and they're constantly open to evolution and growing, then the world is open to them. They can go anywhere. And you can have a laptop and a phone and be on a beach working, which is fabulous. I mean, if I had that opportunity when I was your age, I'd been like, yeah, let's go. Where are we going? You know, like, you guys can go anywhere. This was not the case for us.
But you're saying coding skills, right? Not like, you know, the usual digital nomad stuff, like actually knowing how to code well.
Code, I think, is very, very, yes, it's a very valuable tool. And if you look at, if you did a little bit of research on the code that they're really talking about, it's really dynamic and exciting, leading to automation. So trying to figure out how to do things well that enable efficiency and growth. And that's a hard concept for a lot of people that have come from kind of a stagnant code environment. And, you know, I'm working with a company right now and they focus on ERP, which is, you know, process, trying to streamline processes, but they're talking about working with the ERP systems and being able to get in there and actually visualize what their processes are so that they can automate them. Well, that's novel. Nobody thought about that 20 years ago. And because corporations are realizing, yeah, we have like 50 processes, just like we were talking about, there's a sales process, there's a marketing process, there's an accounting process for receiving funds. You know, you can send out an invoice and then you're supposed to be receiving the funds and there's all this stuff that has to happen to get the money in the bank, right? Well, when you have automated processes running in the background, you're exponentially increasing how quickly those funds are coming in, because manually it just takes forever. So for solid code foundation, I don't think you have a worry at all. As long as you're just kind of keeping an eye out on what's evolving in the market and where the needs are.
Before I ask my last questions, where can people find you online and connect with you?
LinkedIn for sure. LinkedIn is a great one. They've really done a good job of evolving their platform. And of course, my company website, Maven Marketing Solutions, M-A-V-E-N, Marketing Solutions. But it's pretty easy to find me. I don't hide. I'm out there, baby. I'm out there.
Awesome. So to wrap this up, you know, a lot of people that, you know, listen to this podcast are very entrepreneurial, and maybe they're looking to get their own startup. And even though marketing tech is so saturated right now, what are some problems you experienced? Maybe not even in marketing, but like in general with like organizing the stuff, I guess. What are some problems you experienced in your professional career that you feel like there is no tool that solves them? Not necessarily like, you know, for the job in general, like organizational leadership, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I would say that oftentimes there are entrepreneurs who have an idea that they get very excited and they don't take the time to get organized. And really taking the time to get organized, to set up structure, they feel like it's kind of like cleaning your house. I don't want to clean the house, right? I mean, who wants to clean the house? But I come from the other side where I know that if I've got a clean house and I'm organized, that I can be super efficient and move things along. So take a minute to really think about, okay, here's the idea, and know where your strength is personally, and then go after finding people that are specialists in those other areas to help you get organized. And that, for that, I mean, you know, talk to people in marketing, talk to people in sales, talk to people in manufacturing or other people in that space to try to understand what are some of the landmines that you haven't thought about. There's always going to be stuff that comes up that you didn't think about. Oh God, what about this? Oh God. You know, and it's really important to be flexible and open. But if you don't take time and you go out there and you start promising all kinds of stuff on stuff that you know in your head you can do, but you haven't really got it together, it immediately discredits you. Reputation management is a huge one, and it'll take a long time to come back from that. These business environments are very small. People talk. You have digital marketing now where people can get online and blast you, and you're not, you know, great example would be, I had a client once and his main thing was, you know, I have these really negative Yelp reviews and I want them to get them off. I'm like, well, good luck with that, because I can't force them to come down. And in fact, Yelp refuses to bring them down. That's the whole point of their system. Even though they have people that are paid to go out and make these reviews, there's a whole nother ball of wax there. But my point is setting the right expectation of, hey, you know, if you had thought about your level of customer service and your product prior to going out there, you wouldn't have these negative reviews to come back that are, by the way, going to live forever. They're going to be out there forever. And some people are like, oh, that's not a big deal. Well, think about it in context of you're going after 50 different customers. They all are kind of in that same space. If you get a reputation for not delivering or being really difficult or having a crappy product or overcharging or whatever, they all talk. They find out. So really take a minute to just breathe, get organized. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. Abbott and Costello, look it up. It's super important, because then when you are together and you present yourself to the world, you're also transparent. And you can say, here's where we are now. Here's the vision to get where we want to go. If with your help and working with us and providing us with more intel, we feel like we can get there. We just need to start somewhere. And I think that might be where some entrepreneurs get stuck, because they don't want to admit that they're vulnerable, that maybe they don't have all, they want to present themselves, oh, we have all this funding. Well, you don't have all the funding. You need to get the funding. The only way you're going to get the funding is a proof of concept. So you got to get out there and be super flexible and say, yeah, this is who we are and we're starting out, which is why you're getting a great deal, Mr. Customer. And by the way, we'll customize for you. You know, you've got to work with them. It's like a partnership. And then that helps you. You start getting this relationship or this reputation in the marketplace as a leader and really dynamic and flexible and easy to work with and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden you start getting referrals. That's your easiest marketing. Word of mouth is your easiest.
I think that's a great way to wrap this podcast, Mary. Thank you so much for coming on the show and dropping all of these advice, you know, all of this advice that probably people, you know, have to dig up to learn. So thank you so much for coming on the show again. Good luck, and let's change the world. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.